The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about Toy Story Land news and how to dine at Be Our Guest restaurant. That's coming up on this episode 168 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com and Prep School Travel. Thank you for being here for episode 168. Today we are going to talk about Toy Story Land because we have news about that, and I want to make sure that you understand exactly what's coming and when. And I also want to talk about Be Our Guest restaurant, because not only do we have news about that, but it's a very tricky restaurant compared to the others, and I'm not sure we've gone into detail about that on the podcast, so I thought this would be a good chance to do that. Before I do that, I am, as always, going to remind you to follow on social media, because that's where we connect outside the podcast. If you've been following me on social media, you would know that Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn just tweeted me. And it is quite an experience to be tweeted by someone so famous, especially so currently famous, because obviously she's been in the Olympics and probably for the final time. What happened was she was on TV before a race, visualizing the race, as skiers often do, where they have on their goggles and they are putting their hands out just like they're skiing the course and they're visualizing it. And she looked just like the grandma on Carousel of Progress, who is my favorite character animatronic on that ride or that attraction. And so I tweeted out, it was actually a comment my husband made. I videoed Lindsey Vonn on TV and I tweeted it out. That was a quote from my husband. Why does Lindsey Vonn look like the grandma on Carousel Progress? Because she really did. I did not tag her on Twitter when I posted this. I didn't say at Lindsey Vonn, because it's a Disney World joke. Like, I didn't want Lindsey Vonn to think that she looked like a grandma. She, you know, but anyway, I guess she searches her name. And so she retweeted it and said, I'm visualizing the course. I'm old, but not that old, which of course she's not really old. She just looked just like the grandma on Carousel Progress with her visualization. So anyway, I shared that on Instagram stories. I shared it on Facebook, and it was funny in the first place, but the fact that she tweeted it made it even funnier. And now for days, I have been getting replies from her followers telling me I need to stop insulting her, telling me that she's not old. Okay, yes, I get it. This is why I didn't tag her in my tweet. I wasn't trying to insult her. It's a Disney World joke. Anyway. She seemed to see the humor in it, but too bad her followers didn't. So anyway, that is what happened recently on social media. So be sure to follow me there, WDW Prep School. That includes Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Pretty much I'm there. Let's talk first about the last podcast episode. I mentioned to you that I was trying to figure out how to integrate all the different things I'm doing, like the podcast and videos and all that, and that I had considered maybe making the podcast trip reports only. I did get quite a bit of feedback on that, and it was sort of mixed. Some people said, yes, I would love a trip report only podcast, but others said, I'm not on YouTube to listen to the main topics, and I really prefer to listen to it on the go, which is why the podcast is called WDW Prep to Go. And so I think we will leave it the way it is, where it is a mix of trip reports and main topics, and I'll just try to figure out the best way to incorporate videos in that. Speaking of trip reports and doing the podcasts for the I was going to say first timers, but they're not even first timers anymore. We have just recently lined up guests through most of the rest of the year, and they have been contacted to have their interview scheduled. We're looking for unique situations. I've gotten a lot of feedback on trip reports to say, that the trip reports are good, but they get a little monotonous after a while when everything feels the same, which I agree with. I understand that when trips go perfectly well for everyone, that that's great for the people on the trip, but it's not super interesting to listen to month after month after month. So we're looking, and while I still hope the trips go well for people, I'm looking for slightly different situations, different sorts of challenges, and sort of trip plans. And so we've lined up lots of guests for this year. We do still need, I'm not necessarily doing one per month. In fact, we have more than one per month in some cases, but I do want to make sure that we have guests scheduled throughout the year. So currently do need to find some guests for March and June. And I'm looking through we have a spreadsheet. August, September, November, December. So that's a lot of different months. But if you're going during one of those, I'm sure that jumped out at you. So once again, that is March, June, August, September, November, December. All the other months have at least one person already scheduled and lined up for those months. So, and again, I'm looking for unique situations. So if you call the voicemail line, which is in the show notes, please leave your details about your trip and tell us what is unique about it so that we can figure out if it's a good fit. And if so, either Heather or I will be in contact to get you set up for interview time before and after your trip. So we'll have that. And in fact, tonight I'm interviewing somebody before their February trip. So that will be the next one coming up in a few weeks. What else do I want to talk about in housekeeping? I'm going to go ahead and put Toy Story Land in the housekeeping because I don't have 15 minutes worth of stuff to say about it, but I did want to talk about it because Toy Story Land is officially opening June 30th, in case you hadn't heard. That's actually about when I thought it was going to open, and I don't remember if I mentioned that on the podcast or not. But I had a hotel reservation already booked for the end of June. So that opening date didn't surprise me too much. And so I'm really excited to be able to go there. And so I just want to make sure that you knew that. I also wanted to do a very quick overview so you know what it means. Basically, Toy Story Land is two new attractions. One is called Slinky Dog Dash and one is called Alien Swirling Saucers. And the Slinky Dog Dash is a family-friendly coaster, something like Big Thunder Mountain or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and it will have a 38-inch minimum height requirement to go on that. And as you may have guessed, it looks like the Slinky Dog from Toy Story. And then there is also an attraction called Alien Swirling Saucers with a minimum height requirement of 32 inches. People that have been to California Adventure and seen the Mater's Junkyard Jamboree attraction will find this one to look very similar. So those two attractions will be brand new. Then Toy Story Mania will be modified. It's going to have a new entrance. Basically, if you've ever been to Hollywood Studios, you know where the entrance is. It's going to be moved to the back. There is work being done on Toy Story Mania to get it changed for the opening of Toy Story Land, and so no fast passes are available in, I believe, March and April. There is only a standby line for Toy Story Mania, so if you are going in March and April and you're trying to make fast passes, don't be surprised when they are not available, but you will need to write it in a standby line. So I would suggest that you get fast passes for other things and plan on riding Toy Story Mania right at park opening. The lines on that do build quickly because there is just the one standby line right now as they do this work. Toy Story Land is also going to have a new quick service restaurant. And to me, it looks very cutely themed. So I'm excited and I will be there for that opening. So I just want to make sure that you knew about that. And okay, I want to go ahead and get into the main topic today, which is Be Our Guest. And then, of course, we'll have a quick tip of the day at the end. So Be Our Guest is a weird restaurant. And by weird, I just mean that it's set up differently than other restaurants are at Disney World. And that's true for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm going to go ahead and start with dinner because it is the most recent thing that has changed. There have been a lot of people all frustrated that they could not get reservations at Be Our Guest for the end of July or beyond. It just didn't seem to have availability. And now we know probably why that is the case. And Disney just announced that starting July 27th, Be Our Guest dinner menu will switch to a fixed price format. And I believe it's not confirmed, but I believe it will be two Disney Dining Plan credits and roughly $55 for adults to eat there and $35 for kids. The fixed price menu will include an appetizer, entree, and dessert. And I will say that the options do sound like they are for a more adventurous palate. This is definitely not a burger and hot dog kind of place. But there is, you know, some speculation that one of the reasons they would want to do this is that people currently can just go to Be Our Guest and order as little as possible. And so this really maximizes the dollars for this restaurant by making it a fixed price format. So dinner is usually available from 4 p.m. until park closing. And so now, as of July 27th, it's going to have this different menu. And hopefully it, I have personally had mixed results eating dinner at Be Our Guest. And that's why breakfast and lunch have been more of my thing than dinner. But I'm looking forward to trying this and seeing if it improves. And so I'm excited for that to come. If you, this restaurant is also very difficult to get. So you've got to really invoke your strategies for getting difficult dining reservations, which if you stay on site, it makes it much easier. If you book it towards the end of your trip, as opposed to the beginning, that makes it a little bit easier. If you're an on-site guest, you can use a site like mousedining.com, which will send you alerts when openings come up, that sort of thing. So dinner is definitely a challenge there, and we'll have to see if that stays the same once this new menu is put into place. So a couple other things about dinner. One is that it is table service, as you may have guessed, since it's two table service credits starting in July 27th. And also, it is the only time you can meet the Beast. The Beast is not available at breakfast and lunch. He is only available at dinner. And unlike other character meals, he doesn't come around to the tables and take pictures at the table. He's in his own room, and you can go in there and meet him when he is available. So that is dinner at Be Our Guest. Now I want to talk about breakfast. Breakfast and lunch are both quick service, as I have mentioned, which means you can order as little or as much as you'd like, which is one way that people can go into the Beast Castle without spending a fortune. They can order, for instance, breakfast. You may order one breakfast and split it or something like that. Breakfast is usually from 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. daily. And there is a fixed price meal there that includes entree and pastries and beverage for breakfast. And it's a great use of a quick service credit. One thing that is very unique about this restaurant for breakfast and lunch is that you can make reservations ahead of time, even though it's just quick service. And I highly recommend doing that because there's no guarantee that standby guests will even get in. So if you want to eat there, be sure to book it ahead of time, just like you would a table service restaurant. You also have the ability for breakfast and lunch to pre-order your food. And because it is a popular and busy restaurant, this can really save you time. So I highly recommend you can do this up to 30 days ahead of time. Go online and you can pre-order your food. And then when you get there, you can skip part of the line that is just for ordering, and you'll be able to get seated quickly. This is especially important if you have a pre-park opening reservation. So you heard me just say that it usually starts around 8:05. And so if you would like to wrap it up quickly at Be Our Guest so that you can be available to go on rides when the park opens, then pre-ordering will help you do that. One of the things that people often do is that they are able to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train after eating at Be Our Guest before the park even opens, which is a huge treat. It's not guaranteed. I have to give that disclaimer, although a lot of people have been able to do it at Be Our Guest. So that is a nice perk. You get in the park early. You get to go back and eat your breakfast. If you pre-order, it's faster. Then you get off, maybe ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and all of that before the park even fully opens. Now, you may remember or have heard of early morning magic at Magic Kingdom. I did that on my trip in October and loved it. And when early morning magic is scheduled, it takes place from 7:45 a.m. to 9 a.m. And the people that pay to attend it basically get to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and a couple other rides until the park opens unlimited, which is really fun. But if you're a Be Our Guest and you're hoping to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train on one of those mornings, you're not going to be able to get on it right away. You'll have to wait until that event is over. I still recommend it though for two reasons. One is when you are finished at Be Our Guest breakfast, you will still get to line up in a specific spot close to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train so that when the park fully opens, then you will be able to scuttle over there before the main park guests get there. So you still are at the beginning of the line. And so I still think that's an advantage. The second reason is that if you make a pre-park opening reservation at Be Our Guest on an early morning magic day, you can be sure the park hours are not going to change. Because one of the issues with making an early breakfast reservation is that Disney can always change the park hours. So if when you make your dining reservations, the park is opening at 9 and then Disney changes it to 8, then suddenly your 8:05 breakfast reservation doesn't seem so attractive. But when early morning magic is scheduled, they're not going to change the hours because they need to let that event take place. So you can be sure that you will be able to eat before the park opens and then place yourself near Seven Dwarfs Mine Train so that you'll be one of the first to ride it. So I really, really, in case you can't tell, I really like breakfast at Be Our Guest for a lot of reasons, and I highly recommend it. One little tip for eating there is that I highly recommend if you're going to order one of the fixed price breakfasts, you might want to have a Ziploc in your bag because it's just so many pastries that it's helpful to be able to put those in your Ziploc and take them back, and you can have them for a snack later or for breakfast the next day, something like that. And I've had a lot of people who have heard me say that tip say it came in handy because they were not able to eat them all. It's just kind of a lot in one sitting. And I always have Ziplocs in my bag when I'm at Disney World because you just never know when they're going to come in handy. And finally, let's talk about lunch specifically. I've shared a lot of information already, including the fact that it is quick service. It can be reserved at the reservation. It can have food pre-ordered. Usually lunch there is from 11 to 2:30. Because it is popular and busy, if you really want to reduce your wait time, I highly recommend doing the beginning or ending of that time. So lunch at 11 or lunch at 2:30, because that will make it even better. And so I happen to really like lunch. I'm hoping after the fixed price menu goes in place in July that I'll be able to say I like dinner as well. But so far, I really like breakfast and lunch. Like breakfast, lunch is also a great value of a quick service credit. So if you're on the Disney Dining Plan, that is a great option for you. And if you're trying to maximize your credits, especially. And so I hope that information about Be Our Guest is helpful. And as I will link to a full article about it in the show notes, if you would like to go read it. I know everybody likes to take in their content a little bit differently. I do want to wrap up with a quick tip that was emailed in from Mary. This is what she said. She said, one tip people may not know since it doesn't happen very often. We decided to do rope drop at 7 a.m. at Animal Kingdom because we figured it would be a busy day. But we had decided not to do Flight of Passage because we didn't have a fast pass and we have little kids. My plan was to go straight to the safari. I was so proud of myself as we walked up at 7:05. I actually said to my family, we did it, only to be stopped at the entrance. Even though the app showed the safari ride was open, the cast members told us they never open attractions involving the animals before 8 a.m. Apparently, that is too early to get them going. The rest of the park was empty aside from Pandora, and we would have been fine getting there at 8 o'clock. Cast members said the 7 a.m. time is basically just for Flight of Passage. Luckily, my husband got to go ride Everest a couple times with no line, so I wasn't in too much trouble. Just a tip for the rare times the Animal Kingdom opens that early. So I thought that was super helpful. Extra magic hours, all of the attractions are not open during extra magic hours, but Safari is. But on this particular day, it just was too early, I guess, for the animals. So that is helpful to know. So I hope this information in this podcast has been helpful. For more information on this episode, you can look in the show notes in your podcasting app or go to the website, click podcast at the top, and look for episode 168. Until next time, I will see you on the site.